Hey, everybody. My name is April Lovett.
And my name is Daryl Lovett.
We've been together for 5 years, and we have a 3-year-old sweet and sassy little girl, an adorable and smiley baby boy, and our fur child, our dog, Lainey.
That's right. We also work our 9-to-5 jobs together, we teach together, and we co-own The Lovett Company.
That's right. We do so much together, and we wanted to share some of our tips and tricks for living out our 24/7 relationship.
Oh, yes. A relationship that is all day, every day.
Plus, we want to share with you how we manage to run our side business alongside full-time jobs and still find time for kids, chores, and fun. So in this podcast, The Success in Black and White Podcast, we'll be talking about working towards success, overcoming failures, and just living our everyday lives.
So get ready. We're going to be bringing to you real talk concepts every week as we share some of our stories, best practices, as well as talk to guests about how they have found success by doing extraordinary things in their everyday lives. Hey, everybody. We are back in the house. Success in Black and White.
The
April,
podcast.
The podcast.
Coming at you
Are
now.
You ready today?
I'm ready.
We're
you
about
ready?
To do an awesome episode on spirituality.
Gonna be so fun.
Yep. All right. You want to start with a life update?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's do that.
Okay. So I feel like our biggest life update right now is that we've like completely cleaned up our eating.
Ooh, that was my life update. You stole it from me.
I stole it.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't feel like we've ever really been super unhealthy eaters.
No, you said it differently than how I was going to say it, though.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say April has me eating even more healthier these days, and my body is struggling to adjust. I don't want to give the people like too much information.
I don't feel like you should give details.
Okay, but my stomach... Good Lord, has been toe up, and I'll leave it at that.
What?
Wherever your mind takes you after that comment that I just made is your business. But my business is my stomach has been tore the slap up.
The slap.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, yeah. That was...
We're talking about spirituality, so I had to keep it clean, right?
The slap.
Tore the slap up.
Okay. Well... So there was intention behind this, and part of it was
intentions, intestinal, all the same.
Part of it was for me because I've like just been having some gut health issues, and
I tell her she had the leaky gut syndrome. The leaky gut syndrome.
But you know what? That's actually a real thing. And so I started doing a lot of research because I'm not that I won't go to the doctor, because I will, but I'm a huge fan of trying to
figure it out herself.
Yeah, really, truly. Like, take ownership of my body and what I'm putting in it and trying to figure out what could potentially be wrong before I make the step of going to the doctor. If it's not like a chronic or severe illness, right?
Not me. I take full authority. Is that a word?
You just made one up.
Yeah,
like
full authority ship.
That's a great word.
Over my health benefit package that I get from work that I pay into by going to see my doctor. Authority ship. You heard it from me.
That's right.
Hashtag.
In the dictionary next year, you'll see it. Yeah, so it's just been a ride. I've been doing a lot of research on my own, and we've been developing meal plans, and I've been taking supplements and stuff based off that. But Daryl was so gracious and said that he would do it with me, probably to make it easier on me just cooking for basically two people, because Anna eats so little of what we cook because it's not chicken nuggets every night. And also because he says he wants a 6-pack by 2020.
What? Hey, listen, let me tell y'all something. When I get my 6-pack back in 2020, halter tops all day, every day in 2020 with my 6-pack.
But I just want to, like, okay, so just to clarify fashion for you, especially maybe female fashion, but any fashion, halter tops are the ones that, like, go around your neck that show off your shoulders, but not necessarily your stomach. So you probably want a crop top.
No.
Oh, okay.
I can't just let my stomach, like, be out. I got to keep it covered up a little bit. But the halter tops are also fitted.
That's true, they are.
Yes. Oh, I know.
You're going to look pretty.
I got 5 sisters, I know. The halter tops, they do show off your shoulders, but they are fitted. I want people to look at my stomach through the halter top because it's going to be fitted and be able to count all six of my abs. Halter tops all 2020. You better believe it.
I don't know what to say. I think that's the only life update I had.
Listen, I'm telling you. Let me get these abs.
Oh my goodness. I guess I could say, like, for those keeping up with us, we have one listener who just keeps up with us all the time and we love her so much, and she's in the Midwest, but she was like, I haven't been able to listen to podcast episodes lately, so how's your family? And I'm like, she's so sweet. So I like gave her updates on the family. But for those of you keeping track, Devon is now 9 months.
He is 9 months.
And he's a beast, man.
Oh my goodness. 98th percentile in weight. Over 99th percentile in height. They were like, hey, he over 99. We only go to 99. We don't know how much he's over. But according to, you know, the scales, he is over the 99th percentile in height.
He's a beast.
But then he got a little head, though. They said his head was only like the 89th percentile.
Well, in relation to the kid's body.
I mean, he's a big boy. He is a big boy.
Plus, he has all that hair that makes his head look bigger.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So we took him to the pediatrician this morning, and that was all of our fun information from them.
Oh, my goodness. They were just like, oh, my gosh, this dude is huge. His wingspan, though, like, get off me. Like, he's going to be like, get off me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so anyway, I feel like that's all. Do you have any more life updates?
Nah, that's it. Okay, cool. Alter tops, all 2020.
Yeah, y'all look out for that. And then the new word, what did you say? Authorship?
Authorship.
That actually might be a word. It might be like a...
No, authorship.
Authorship.
Authorship. I forgot what I said. I don't even remember what it was.
Oh, Lord, okay.
Well, you heard me say it first. Whatever it was. Authorship. I don't know.
Anyway, we'll move on.
Taking authority and ownership.
There you go.
That's what I was saying. I tried to make it one word.
I like the combination. That's a good combination.
Authorship.
Yeah. So authorship. Today we're talking about... What are we talking about? Today we are recording. We actually don't have a great name for it yet. But in this... And we will come up with one. You'll see it when you listen to this. But we are actually going to be talking about spirituality.
Yeah, we are going to be talking about spirituality.
We absolutely are. So,
how do you want to even dive into this?
I know. It's a tough topic. It's not a tough topic for us to talk about because we believe what we believe and we know what that is, and it's part of our value system. And so we don't have a problem talking about it. But I know one of the things that we really wanted to make sure is that that people know that even from our vantage point, that we love everybody, and it doesn't matter what religion or what spirituality that you identify with or don't identify with. We don't want to alienate people.
That's right. That's the last thing.
Right.
The last thing that we want
to
do.
Right. And so, you know, just listen to our stories from the vantage point of you're getting an inside look into our lives and what we believe on a daily basis, but it may not be true for you, and that's okay with us.
We respect that.
We love anyway.
We love you and respect that.
Right. So I just kind of want to put that out there because we're going to talk a lot about very personal things for us, which religion and spirituality become very personal a lot of the times.
Yep. Y'all should have known this was coming next, though. Like, y'all are like getting the inside scoop. We talked about our relationships last time in our 4-part series. Now we're coming back with spirituality. Y'all are like getting the inside scoop. But hopefully we're saying something that can help someone. That's our purpose for doing this.
Right. And today we're going to address talk from a personal standpoint about us and kind of our testimonies and our religious lives. And then we are also going to address a few of the stereotypes, I think, of our religion and that how people are labeled sometimes, and just from our point of view, how we think about those. And then we're also going to, so if you do not identify specifically with the religion that we do, we are at the end going to talk about practical tips for incorporating spiritual practices into your life, regardless of what religion you do or don't identify with.
Absolutely.
Just some ways for you to connect with, you know, higher being and higher power. So do you want to start?
Where am I starting?
So I think we're going to start at, well, I guess we can both say, because we, one of the things that was super important to us as we got into the relationship and as we talked about marriage and talked about being together for the long haul was our religion, because it was a yeah. high value for both of us.
Yeah, exactly.
So we identify, we're both Christians.
Yeah, we are Christian.
Mm-hmm. I think we can start that way. And it really probably goes into the way we were both raised, which for me, when I was making notes on this, really went into my testimony. So I don't know if you want to address the way that you
were raised. Making notes for this.
You guys, I always make notes. Nah, I like to be prepared.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if you want to, do you want to talk about your testimony, or do you want to, you have something else to address kind of the way you were raised?
My story or testimony, if that's what we're going to call it, gosh, just like old school, stand up and give your testimony.
Your testimony give is really a story.
Give honor to the spirit of, who's the head of my life. You know, we are here today and we should be so thankful. No, I'm not going to do it that way. I guess for me and my story and my testimony, if that's the term that we're going to use, my dad was a pastor. He still is a pastor my whole life. So my story, I guess, could be like the traditional, grew up in the church and learned a lot of things about the religion and the organization that we were in and the doctrines. But as far as my own personal relationship with Jesus, like that didn't come till like later on. So I learned to live the organization and the organization's doctrines and not the faith. So that's kind of how my story starts off. And I spent, you know, all of my life and at a young age in the church. I knew all of the Bible, all the scriptures, all of the sayings, all of the doctrine for the organization that I grew up in. You want to talk about somebody that could walk the walk? That was so easy for me to do because it was learned. It was ingrained. It was instilled. But it wasn't something that, you know, was me and in my heart. It was just something I learned, something that I could do, and a facade that I had to live by for a lot of my life. So like my relationship with Jesus and, you know, my faith didn't come till later on in life. But I spent a lot of my life and a lot of my time living the doctrines, falsely living what, you know, what Christianity was. Mm-hmm. And basically, like I said, I was living, you know, living the doctrine, living the organization, but not living the faith, kind of living the culture.
Right.
So it took a while. I had to go through some adversities and I had to realize some things myself about me. And then I had to rebuild my own personal relationship with my faith. And a lot of that happened when I was well into my adult years.
Mm.
Yeah.
When would you, is there like a turning point for you when you kind of realized like, I need to have this type of spirituality on my own. I need to do these practices on my own, not because I was a pastor's kid or not because this is what the church told me to, but because this is what, like, when was that realization for you?
You know, I lost my way during probably transitioning when I like left home.
Mm.
And then I realized that my parents weren't around and I didn't have to like fake the funk, if you want to use it that way, or walk that walk.
Fake the funk.
Yeah, fake the funk. And I started kind of realizing some things about myself and I started learning some things about myself and, you know, went through some tough times and some adversity. Mm-hmm. And went through some depression and different things like that and started to question a lot of the things that I had learned growing up. And then that's when I kind of started doing the research, I guess, and the reading myself and not just from the sermons that I heard or the people that I was around or the doctrines that were associated with the organization that I grew up in. And I started to do the research for myself and I started reading, you know, the Bible myself, trying to understand it myself, because I had a lot of questions and a lot of times where I was just in disbelief, you know, because of certain situations that I was going through or things that had happened. And what's so crazy is, like, growing up in the church, and I'm not going to say, like, this is just the organization that I was in or the people that I was associated with, but sometimes the people in the church hurt you worse than the people in the world. Mm. And it was so easier to associate and be with the people in the world, because the people in the church were supposed to be there to build you up based on what I know now, and to encourage you and to live in community with you. And just from my experience, some of it me personally and some of it observation to other people, like, I was just like, man, like, it's rough to, like, be a part of this community and be in this church, because they're tearing you down more than they're building you up. Mm. They make it easier for you to go out and associate and hang out with the people that they quote unquote say were in the world. Mm-hmm. And then just some of the things and the philosophies that was taught or that I learned, and that, you know, kind of identify with some of my characteristics or some of my behaviors. I was just like, man, like, this is just crazy. So that kind of all pushed me to finding out a little bit more by myself or on my own. So I started reading the Bible a little bit more, started doing some devotionals, and really wasn't praying that much. Just kind of wanted to learn and educate. And then I started to really focus on some of the historical context of the Bible, because I felt like growing up, a lot of that was left out. Mm-hmm. I knew all the Bible stories. I knew a lot of the things that happened in the Bible, and I knew how I was supposed to live it, but the historical context and how it related to this time now and ways that it was applicable to me as a person, I never really got any of that. It was like, do this, live like this, be this, do that, be that, and you can go to heaven. Right. And I'm just kind of like, what?
Like, what is the context?
Yeah, what's the context? Yeah. I started to learn and to do the research. And then I also had, during that time, I had some friends that kind of really helped me along that journey, because they were real cool, and they would, like, sit with me and they would try to figure it out with me, because they, you know, they identified as Christians, but they were further along in their journey than I was in their faith, not in their belief in a doctrine.
Right.
So they would help me out and kind of give me some insight. And if I had any questions, they would try to answer them. If not, they would go and ask their pastor from a contextual, you know, purpose, not like, hey, I want to go do a Bible study. Like, can you give me the context of what this meant during that time, how it relates to now, how it's applicable? And I spent a long time doing that. And then over time, I started to understand more, and a little more wisdom came as to how to apply what I was reading. And then I would probably say later in my adulthood is when I was kind of like, all right, let me try this thing out, like, for real. And that's when I incorporated the prayers and, you know, started to really live that faith, you know, not just that culture, live that faith.
Right.
And that's kind of how it all happened. And it was over a period of time. And obviously you have your ups and downs and your doubts and your frustrating moments. And sometimes you don't understand everything and you don't know everything, but you want to know more.
Right.
And then you don't know who to go ask, because, you know, some of the things that I've been through, I'm like, I don't even want to go talk to this person. Right. Or I'm like, dang, I don't even want to go to this church. Or if I go visit a church, and then it's just like their focus is on something else. And I'm like, dang, this ain't for me, but I want to be in a community.
Right.
How can I continue to grow? And it was rough. Mm-hmm. I went to a couple of different churches, and this was while I was in college, some in grad school, some. And I went to a couple of different churches. And I remember one time I went to a church, and when I went in, the people, like, they greeted me and it was like, hey, how you doing? And then, like, one of the very next questions was, are you, you know, Kojic? And I was like, no. And then it was just kind of like, oh. And, like, because I didn't come from that background, I wasn't that. They're just like, oh, okay.
What does Kojic mean?
Church of God in Christ.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they, that was like that was like in their introduction, like set of questions.
Wow.
Like, hey, how are you doing? This is your first time visiting us. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself. Are you Kojic? And I'm just like, really? Like, you gonna hit me with that on like the fourth question? And then I said no, and it was just kind of like, oh,
like you don't belong here.
Not like you don't belong here, but it was just kind of one like, oh. And I was just like, okay. And I never went back to that church. Yeah. But I mean, just those type of experiences of things that I personally don't believe matter.
Right.
When you're talking about the faith and you're talking about what you believe in, you're talking about uplifting people and building people.
Right.
And living in that community. So I don't want to take up all the time, but that's kind of like my story, like in a real quick, you know, nutshell. And I guess if you want to label it a testimony, that's kind of my testimony too.
Same thing. I think this made me think of, because you guys know by now probably that my full-time job, I'm working with data and assessment and surveys a lot. And I remember seeing a survey question somewhere for something that was like, what faith do you identify with? And then it was like Jewish, Catholic, Muslim, Baptist, Episcopalian. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm confused, because to me, there's just a few different, like there's Judaism, there's Islam, there's Christianity, and Christianity has kind of broken itself out into all these different principles. But usually, like, you believe the same thing, that Jesus Christ rose, you know, he died for our sins and rose on the third day. Three days later.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of confused by that. So when you said Kojic, like, I think that's
not Kojic, Kojic, Church Kojic, of God I'm in sorry. Christ. Kojic. Yeah, you got Church of God in Christ. You got like
right.
Church of God.
It's always just confusing Christ, to me.
You got all of, it's a bunch right. of different ones.
It's always a little confusing to me. I know there's some, delineations between the different denominations and how they practice.
Pentecostal, things, Baptist, right? Methodist, African American.
Like,
Methodist.
Don't they all believe the same thing? So aren't they just Christianity? Like, it's, I don't know. Anyway, so that was something that I was like,
that's when, like I said, like the doctrines and all of that stuff, and you know, all of that comes into play.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that had me hung up for a while.
It's something I still wrestle with.
Because I can tell you, like, growing up, like in our church, like, it was the women weren't wearing pants, no earrings, no makeup, no none of that. Like, it was a sin. You're going to hell. Jezebel. I mean, like,
right.
You know what I mean? It was doctrine stuff. And a lot of it wasn't really explained. It was just told to us growing up. Right. So, like, when I started to learn and go back and read the Bible, like,
scripture
for myself, the script. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a lot of it is just doctrine. Right. So,
interesting. Okay. Do you want me to tell my
story? Tell your testimony.
Okay, so
testify
today. So when I was identified as Christian and growing up, my parents identified as Christian. I don't really remember being like too long in any one church growing up. And so I feel like we bounced around a little bit. Like, they were always taking us to church, but it was never to like one church to really establish a family. A couple times, I think when I was really young, they had a church family for a few years, but we also moved a lot, which didn't help. But I think the main staple for me was a week-long summer camp that I went to in Colorado called Camp Idra Haji. It was I'd Rather Have Jesus. Idra Haji.
Okay. So, yeah. No. Okay.
So anyway, that was a camp.
Camp Anawana.
Anawana. So Camp Idra Haji. It was a week long summer camp, and you like stayed overnight and stuff. And that, I think, was probably more influential to my faith and to growing in my faith at a young age than anything else, than church or Sunday school or anything else that we did. And so I'm so glad that my parents sent me there. I remember back then it was like campfires and worship, and like you did all these activities too. Like, we're on the side of a mountain, we'd go horseback riding and like make crafts and all this stuff. But the things that stuck with me were like singing around the campfire and like learning about Jesus, and like that was the basis of my faith. I still remember one morning, I think the morning that you could say like is actually when I accepted Christ, was we got up at 4 a.m. and went to climb a mountain to watch the sunrise. And so we spent like 2 hours getting up to the very, to the peak of this mountain, and we watched the sunrise and we sang, and the counselor kind of, you know, told us, read some of the Bible and prayed with us. And that was the point where I accepted Christ. And I think I was probably like 8 or 9 maybe at the time.
See, it was different for us. Like when you're talking about it, except or getting saved, like it wasn't no going to no top of no mountain and accepting Christ. Like you got to pray and be at the altar and say Jesus like 1,000 times,
right?
At a high rate. And it was like, and then if you did anything bad or like you sinned and you like backslid and then you had to get saved all over again.
Oh wow, isn't that such a contrast from what we believe now?
It definitely is. So I probably got saved like 87 times. And I don't even know how I came up with the number 87, but I probably got saved like 87 times.
And just to clarify, what we believe now is that you are saved and you're saved one time. Jesus covers sins from the time that you were except born him, through right, like through eternity. And I mean, that's kind of a deeper conversation that we'll probably have at some point.
We will.
Yeah, because both of us in the past year were affected by deaths that were in our families that were untimely, unexpected, and tragic.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of question of, well, were they forgiven? And so I think that could probably be a whole separate episode. So anyway, back to my story, moving through into high school, I dated a pastor's kid, which was really kind of a mixed bag when you date pastor's kids. I don't know. I mean, you were a pastor's kid.
But everybody, this is my first time ever hearing this. I did not know this.
I did not know this.
I'm hearing this brand new with y'all. I'm trying to keep my emotions in check now.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna back up off the mic right now.
You're
and,
so funny.
And sit back. I ain't got no popcorn, but I'm about to listen to the rest of this story.
Oh my goodness.
This is my first time ever hearing this. I ain't never heard You're this. So I never funny. Knew this.
Yeah, so my high school boyfriend, quote unquote boyfriend, was a pastor's kid, which was kind of a mixed bag. I think because when you're a pastor's kid, you're kind of trying to discover like who you are apart from being a pastor's kid, right? But at the same time, he was definitely down like errant paths sometimes that were not always good. So, you know, he's a quote unquote high school boyfriend. So, but probably the best thing that I got from that was I would attend the church where his dad was the pastor every weekend. And that was a good, sound religious experience for me through high school. So then moving on from that and from the high school boyfriend, my first year of college was to a small private Christian school in Kansas. I thought the best path for me. I went on a fellowship with Habitat for Humanity, and I was really into the servant leadership life. And there were many reasons that about halfway through the year, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And most of it was, I just couldn't build sheds in the cold anymore in the snow. But a lot of it too was I really just dreamed of like going somewhere bigger and exotic and like living this life that, you know, I felt very contained when I was still at a very small Christian private school. So I moved to Florida, which ultimately was exactly what I was supposed to do with my life. But it ended up, I learned independence, I learned to live life, but it really did take a toll on my faith. I went away from family, which is always kind of the stability in faith and in religion. And from there, I also went out on my own. So I had to rediscover who I was, which was really good for me. And again, kind of bad for my faith for a while. So while I was in college in Florida is when I really fell away from my faith. And I think that what's happening is you're learning so many new things, you're meeting so many new people, that college was a time for me where I was literally just questioning everything. Like, you're still growing physiologically and neurologically, and you've got all of these different opinions and different people that you're meeting, and it just kind of, you almost question like, what is truth anymore, right? And so that really happened for me. I feel like that is not unique. I feel like that happens for a lot of college students, especially. I remember also feeling like in college, I just thought like, man, the people that I know that that say that they're Christians are just such hypocrites. Like Christian, I know people who are Christians who drink 24/7 and that's all they care about. Or they say they're Christians and they do this. Or they say that they're Christians and they cheat on their partners. And I was just like, I just don't get it. Like I didn't have enough faith. I wasn't grounded enough in my faith to really build my walls and my foundation when I was around these people too. So I really kind of started maintaining the I'm a Christian but I don't practice, or like the whole quote unquote I'm spiritual but I'm not religious, like that kind of saying. And I maintained that really for a long time, like even all the way past college, all the way through like my first few years of working professionally, all the way until I moved and went to FSU. And it wasn't until like there was a transition point for me that sounds really minor, but it was really a major transition point for me. And it was after you and I were already dating, and we had not, like, we were just, it was probably 5 or 6 months into when we were dating. And the transition point for me is going to sound a little crazy, but one of my friends, Darren Robinson, who I'm calling him out because I know he listens to this podcast, and I know that he was so supportive when I told him about this. But anyway, he had put this meme on Facebook, and I will never forget it because this was literally the turning point in my life. It said, the meme said, not going to church because there are hypocrites there is like not going to the gym because fat people are going to be there working out. And to me, that just rung a chord. And sorry if that sounded like insensitive, but to me, that rung a chord because I was like, I would never discriminate against somebody's body weight or body type when they came into the gym to improve themselves. Why would I discriminate or not go to church because I think that there are people that are hypocrites there? Like, how crazy is that?
Not all memes are bad memes.
Not all memes are bad memes. Yeah. So I told him how that affected me. And really that was a turning point in my life, was just seeing that meme on Facebook. You never know what somebody's going to take from your social media.
Hey, so be it. That's how, you know, that's how you made that change and that turn. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So after that, we went, I remember there was, you were gone. I started really diving more into the Bible, and I was like, okay, I got to go back to church. It had been literally probably 10 years since I attended church service. And you were gone one weekend. So I went with some of our friends to their church, and it was a good church. It just didn't really jive with me. But I think the next weekend you came back, and I was like, let's go check out City Church in, you know, where we're at. And he was like, all right. And we went, and that was the first time, and we've been going ever since. Yep. That was 5 years ago, yep. 6 years ago, something like that.
It was a while ago.
It was a while ago. So we haven't looked back. So that's kind of my story.
Yeah.
Where I've been, and, you know.
That's good. I learned a lot.
I know. I didn't know your high school boyfriend was a pastor's kid.
I mean, beyond that. I mean, just
oh yeah,
the meme and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, that's
we
really
talk about
changed.
It, but like,
yeah.
We don't really get into like the depth of, which is good. Which kind of why we're doing and how we're doing this podcast is just for us, and we're just inviting everybody else to get into the conversation
about each other too. It's kind of funny. Yeah. But yeah, so we've been going to that church ever since, and we love it. Yeah. So let's address the next question, mm-hmm. which, what is it that we do on a daily and weekly basis to maintain a relationship with God?
Together or individually or what?
Just, you know, however you want to answer that question.
You know, I think the number one thing that I've really learned to do is to just show gratitude and appreciation and thanks. Because I know a lot of times for me, and other people may be able to relate, is usually when you go to God, it's when you're facing adversity or something's going on, or you're struggling, or you need something, or you want something. And it's so easy to kind of, you know, fall on that crutch or use your faith as that crutch. And then you're not appreciative or thankful. Like, he only resolves issues. He doesn't help support you when you're thriving. So one of the things that I really, and I had to work on it because it was me, and I had to work on it, and I make sure that I show gratitude and my appreciation and my thanks for everything that I do have, that I am able to do, that he has blessed me to be in positions for, to accomplish. And furthermore, not only that, I take that and I use it to help and encourage and motivate other people, because that's just what I feel like my purpose is, my calling is, and that's what his will is. And that's what really matters to me. And then the other thing is, just praying and talking to him, more. And sometimes it's for the gratitude. Sometimes it's, you know, for clarification, for wisdom. I mean, then sometimes it is for needs when, you know, he just may like say, hey, all right, you out here thriving, you out here being successful, and you slipping a little bit. Let me just, you know, make sure you know where the foundation of this is coming from.
Right.
So making sure that I pray. Those are things that I do. And then also just, you know, living the best that I can in his will and purpose for my life, so that people can see that and know that it's not just me, you know, it is God, and he is, you know, the head of my life, and he is leading me and giving me the direction and the things that I need to do his work, which is to uplift and motivate and inspire people to, you know, be better people just in general.
Right.
So that's what I do on a weekly basis, is making sure that I show that gratitude, I show that appreciation, I pray more, I stay in communication with him, and then I use the gifts that he has given me to pursue his will for my life, which is my life purpose, my life calling.
Okay.
That's, I don't know, good. If that was an answer you was looking for, but that's what I do on a daily and weekly basis. I think with that, everything else through my living is kind of showing my light, so to speak.
Light. Yeah, I love that you do that with gratitude. I'm not as good at that, and I think it's because I'm a doer and an achiever, and so I'm always looking for the next thing. And so if something comes up or something I should be grateful for, I forget, which is terrible, but I'm just like, okay, God, here it is. What's the next thing that I need to be doing, or where are you going to use me next? And it's not the thank you and reflection of, you know, thank you for bringing this to me, and thank you for all of the things that I have. We're getting better with Anna and Vaughn at the dinner table. She's very cute. She says her prayer before we eat, and she says, thank you for mommy and daddy and baby brother and rainbow. I don't know where rainbow comes from, but
yeah, she thank God for rainbows.
She does. She loves rainbows. I do too. It's great. No, I mean, more flooding. They're beautiful. Hey. So for me, on a daily and weekly basis, first of all is church. And I think it's probably because for a very long, long, long time, I did not attend church. And for me now, church is one of the most important things. Like, even if I don't feel well, I'm like, I really want to go to church, because that's community for me. And really, as Christians, we know and we believe that Jesus calls us to come together to pray and worship. And so that's something for me that's really important. And I actually think I just address the next question we had about why do you place a high value on going to church every week?
Oh yeah, that's one of the, I mean, that is one of the weekly things that, you know, that we do.
It is. And it's really important to us.
Yeah. I think you answered it for me too. The community, our church family, and just understanding that we weren't put here on this earth, in this world, to do it alone. And when I say do it alone, that's life.
Yeah, agree.
You know? Yeah. And if you're living in his will and in his purpose for your life, you're going to need some guidance. You're going to need some support. And what better place to get it than from a community, a church family that is going to uplift you, support you, and help you live within your will, within his will, and within his purpose for your life even better.
Agree.
You know, so
yeah,
I think that's why I place such a high value on it. I think that's why we both do that together.
Yep. And somewhere for our kids to go to be in that same community and start learning the same values,
right,
and the practices and teaching.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that while we're talking about church, and I love City Church, and I'm glad that they don't have to learn it the same way that I did as a kid, because they do a great I mean, phenomenal job.
Oh my gosh. We walk in and sometimes we're like, I want to be in a kids church.
Like, a phenomenal job of bringing production, it down to their level and to how it relates to life. I mean, sometimes Anna comes back in the car and she says some things and I'm like, what?
Yeah, she gets it.
And she gets it.
Because they teach it the right way.
And they teach it the right way. And she gets it and she understands and it's not being forced. And like, she applies like some of those lessons learned from her kids' church, like, into her daily habits.
Yep. She does.
You know,
she said something yesterday that we both were kind of taken aback.
Oh yeah.
One of her classmates, she said, I just like him so much. He is just so happy all the time. And it's one of her classmates that I don't think everybody has always been nice to.
Yeah.
But she was just like, oh my gosh, I love him so much. Like, he's so happy all the time. And then that was it. And it's just, I think she's seeing the good in everybody.
Yeah, she sees the good. And I was just like, wow. You know, well, I said wow. And I was like, hey, I better watch this young fellow. You know, why he happy all the time? He around her.
Aww, I'm like, hey. She is a sweet, sweet girl.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So the second thing that I do on a daily, usually daily, but always weekly basis to kind of maintain that is teachings. And that's really via podcast. And so.
Oh, my goodness. That's all we listen to.
That's all we listen to. We don't even listen to music anymore.
Oh, my. I'm like, I know. Hey, I hear about, you know, probably about 8 or 9 sermons a week. And then on Sunday, I get it from our pastor at our church.
Goodness.
But I'm at the house and I'm just like chilling. And all of a sudden, she come walking out and just set the phone and the speaker down. And it's just a sermon. I'm like,
they're so good.
You know, I mean, nothing against like getting the word and getting, you know, spiritually fed. But, you know, when you get full, like, you know, you got to give it time to digest. Like,
oh my God.
Think about it.
Good point.
No, I'm not saying you got to stop.
No, I won't. But
I ain't talking about, these ain't like little snacks and little salads. I'm talking about, we getting spiritually fed, like listening to whole sermons.
Oh, so good. I think they're good.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're not good, but you know.
I know. Like, I got you. I hear you. So I'll just put my headphones in. So I will
get your spiritual food.
Yeah, I can eat a lot more than you. I will re-listen to sermons from our church sometimes. So City Church has a really good podcast app, and it's just, I think, City Church, if you look them up, if you wanted to hear the sermons. Our pastor is very gospel based, but a very practical application at the same time. And so we really like it in his teachings. And then I found another podcast. Oh, sorry. You want to say something?
No, I was just going to say that's one of the reasons why I like City Church.
Like,
and like, I never have to guess, because he makes this statement and every time he says it, like, I nod my head, even though I already know what he's going to say. He's like, if it's me telling you something, like, don't listen to me. I don't know everything. He was like, but when I'm up here, like, it's from the Bible.
Right. It's gospel.
You know, somebody coming to you saying that Jesus told me this or God told me that. He was like, and it ain't come from the Bible, then you might want to take a step back and reevaluate what you're about to, you know, take in. And I like that. He'll get up there, I mean, plain as day, and say, you know, I ain't the smartest person in the room. That's why I'm telling y'all, don't listen to me. But the Bible is where I'm coming from right now. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, like, here, you can read it for yourself.
Right. That's why we like it. So I'll re-listen to those. And then there's a church podcast that is the one I make Daryl listen to all the time. But they're really, really good. And they're based out of Minnesota, I think. It's Eagle Brook Church Podcast.
Yeah, it's out of Minnesota.
Yeah, and they have literally some of the best sermons I've ever heard.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
They are really, really good. They're not preachy. They're not showy. They're just normal, like, conversational lessons, and they're infused with stories, like their own stories and stuff that will help you live and, like, help you grow. So I love those ones. I've listened to a few from Elevation Church, which is, they're good. I just have to be in the mood for them because they're kind of showy to me. But Eagle Brook Church is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the third thing is that, so it's really hard. We've got two young children. We both have full-time jobs that take all of our time, and we have side business. And so it's difficult to find time in the day to do all the things that we want to do. So I'll listen to podcasts when I run. And then when I first get into the office, I get there before everybody else. And so I spend the first like 20 minutes that I'm there, and I will follow a Bible reading plan online and just read my Bible and pray before everybody else gets there for the first 20 minutes before anybody else is in. So that's the only time that I can squeeze it in with having two young kids, but it really helps set my day so that I am on the right path, so that I'm thinking, I'm reflective, I'm thinking about other people, and that I'm just keeping, you know, prayer as a mainstay in the back of my mind.
Yeah. I got to do better with my readings and stuff. Like every now and then, I'll read because I listen to it so much. And then, okay, I guess let me clarify. Read like on my own for me, but like with the sermons and when we're listening to those, and I'll hear something, then I'll definitely go back just for reference points for myself and read and kind of check up on the scriptures that they either have listed or said or that they read from, just for clarification for my own self. But like sitting down, taking time to read and kind of go over daily inspirations and things like that, I need to get better at doing that.
Always improvement points for me too.
Yep.
The next question is one that is a little dicey, so I wanted to ask.
Let me see. Where are we at? What question is
it? We're going to talk about that Christians are often labeled as judgmental, self-righteous, and hypocritical. It is very loaded. And just from our perspectives, not as pastors, but just as, you know, normal, everyday people, what is our take on those labels for Christians?
For me, that's a tough question, only because I've been in the midst and I've also felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've been on both sides.
I've been on both sides, yeah. And I've been in the middle. So some Christians can be judgmental. Some can be self-righteous. Some can be hypocritical. We all fall short. That's what I believe. We all fall short. We all sin.
Yep.
We all have our shortcomings. And that may be someone's shortcoming, where yours may be something different.
Mm-hmm.
The judgmental or the self-righteous attitude. But not all of them are like that, though.
No.
So you can't just assign that to every Christian that you meet. I would say spend time, get to know them. And plus, if your spirit doesn't agree with their spirit, just because they identify as Christian doesn't mean you have to be their best friend. Right. You know, if you're a Christian, you don't have to be best friends with every other person that says that they're a Christian.
Agree.
Obviously, you're brothers and sisters in the eyes of Christ, and you pray for each other and you uplift each other. And if they are coming off sometimes as judgmental, or they have a self-righteous attitude, or they have hypocritical like spirits or actions about them, like, you pray for them, and if you have an opportunity to uplift them, you do that. And if not, you continue to pray for them and you keep it moving.
Yep.
Because some Christians, you know, they do just as well as non-Christians, just as well as everybody, because we all fall short as humans.
I agree.
And we all have our parts and areas in our life that are not to where we want them to be.
Agree. I couldn't even say it better than that.
That's how I feel about that, being in it, mm-hmm. being out of it, and being in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's a really good. There's nothing I could say that would top that. That was really good. The only thing I will add is I think the reality is that you're going to find hypocrites everywhere. Everybody is in some way, but you and I are in ways hypocrites. And I think that you just have to be careful, because you're going to find them at work. You're going to find them in politics, you're going to find them in various religions, you're going to find them everywhere. And so I think that it's a very tough statement to make, to say that one group in particular, or a bunch of hypocrites, or judgmental or self-righteous. And I just caution people against that, because it's reality is hypocrites are everywhere. You and I are hypocrites, you know, in ways. So
we're all human. And like I said, we all fall short, exactly. Christian or non-Christian.
Exactly.
Everybody have their, you know, their things about them that could be better.
Right. Exactly. The next question was, what book do you recommend that's really helped deepen your faith?
The Bible. Duh.
Besides the Bible?
What other answer? what other answer were you expecting? The Bible. Duh.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and that was what I was referring to earlier when we were talking about our pastor. Like, if you have a word for me and it's not in the Bible, keep it moving, because that word ain't for me.
Yeah.
But more so, books by Charles Stanley, who was a pastor out of Atlanta, Georgia, I think. I really like his books. He really takes, you know, biblical text, good gracious, and then he also incorporates life and how it applies to life in ways that you can take the Bible and use it to help, you know, mold and build your life. And then one of his books that I have at the house that I started reading, I kind of glanced through it, is Man of God: Leading Your Family by Allowing God to Lead You. Is one of my favorites so far. So he's a author that I really like to read his books and follow, just because he uses the Bible and then incorporates life. I just use the term life because he relates it to all different aspects of life, which I really like. It's not just about the Christianity part of your life. It's all aspects of life.
Gotcha. Does sound good. I personally really like, I'm a huge fan of women's Christian books, or books that I can relate to as a woman. But you guys know, if you've been listening to this podcast, if this is not your first episode, then you probably know how much I love data, how much I love research, how much I love science, empirical evidence. And so those things are super important to me. And for a long time, it was part of the reason that I didn't go to church and I was really questioning my faith. And then I fell into some books that were apologetic books. And my favorite book, and I didn't get the author's name, I should have, but the book, if you search the title, you're going to get it, because it's the only one titled this, is I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. So it's this apologetic book that really gets into the science behind how we can actually prove that God is alive and that the principles of Christianity are viable. A ton of scientific evidence. It's amazing. And for somebody like me who really likes empirical evidence and proof and data, it's one of the best books that you can read. But I'm sure there are other apologetics out there, and people who, like, we have one of our teaching pastors is an apologetic, and he's written books before too. So I haven't read his, but
Norman, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist is by Norman. Ooh, I'm going to butcher butcher the last name. Norman.
Oh, Giesler.
Giesler. Norman Giesler.
Yeah, it's been really, really good. I've read a couple chapters twice, just because it's a great, really, when I got into college was when I started thinking about, you know, when I started thinking about science and really questioning, you know, God and Christianity. And so if you have children who maybe are in this stage, or even people that like to have an argument of what they think is science that proves that God does not exist, this is a really good book that's full of empirical evidence that helps prove that God does exist. So that's a book that's really helped deepen my faith since I love science and research. So then the last thing that we're going to talk about is, what are some practical tips that you have for incorporating spiritual practices into your everyday life? And for this, we really thought about just broad and outside of Christianity in general. So for anybody who identifies as a spiritual person in nature, what are some practices?
In nature.
I know. Just like, anything. What? Sure, in nature. Anything. Or, you know. So what are some practical tips that you have for incorporating spirituality into your everyday life?
The first thing is scheduling time for yourself to really focus on that aspect and that part of your life. Because I know for me, it was just something that I thought was a part of my life, and I thought that it would just kind of incorporate itself into my life. And when I didn't find time, mm-hmm. I often just didn't think about it or didn't build that area or didn't right. focus or put attention on that area of my life. It's kind of like, oh yeah, no, like when the time is right.
Yeah.
You know, the time is never going to be right. So scheduling time and finding time to make sure that you focus on that part of your life is, I think, is very important. It's one of the very practical tips that I would give.
Yeah. That's actually my first one too, is to just find the time to be alone, yeah. to meditate, to pray, whatever that looks like for you. For me, that's when I run and I'm able to either listen to a podcast or like get that spiritual fulfillment. Sometimes it's a sermon. Sometimes I listen to people like Ed Milet, who is another one of my favorite podcasters. He is definitely spiritual, but the only reason that you know it, he never talks about it. I don't think he's ever done an episode like we're doing right now. The only way that you know it is in the way that he interviews the people and how much he actually cares about them and the stories that they tell and that he tells. And it's very just good. It's like a good for your soul type of podcast. So yeah. Being alone for me. Do you have another tip?
Yeah. And this is practical. And sometimes this one can be challenging, but not letting other people make you feel bad about you focusing and applying time to your spiritual part. You know, a lot of times for us, people may question, oh, you're going to a city group. Oh, you're going to church. Oh, you know, or you're not doing this. Why? Because it doesn't align with that part or that value of our life. Mm-hmm. So don't let other people make you feel bad about the spiritual component in your life. And sometimes, like I said, it's easier said than done when you are wanting to be, you know, liked, and you wanted to have friends and you wanted to hang out and do things with other people. And sometimes you give up that part of your life just so that you can fit in. Don't let people make you feel bad about that part of your life, because it's very important. So that would be the second practical tip if I had one to give.
I love that you just said that, because I think it's so easy, especially with populations that we work directly with, to see that the influence of friends can be stronger than the influence to maintain your spirituality.
Yes.
And you can say, well, I don't have time. But if you really go back and look over, like, go back and look over your past week in your calendar, and where could you have actually made time, right? Because that's the number one thing is, well, I don't have time to read my Bible every day. Well, I don't have time to go to church because we're doing this and this and this.
Right, right.
In reality, you can make spirituality a priority. So I love that you said that. My second tip is, I think this may sound like kind of gitchy, but I think that time outdoors is really important. Yeah. And I think it's important because that connection to nature and to meditate to how you are a part of it and a part of something that's much larger than you, no matter what you believe in. That's so important to your spiritual growth and your spiritual practice.
Absolutely.
And it can be difficult, right? Because we're talking about, anyway, well, we're busy. When do we have time to do all this and this and this? Well, even for me, the running outside takes care of so many different things for me. If I get to run outside at lunch, I'm taking care of physical health, I'm taking care of spiritual health, I'm taking care of intellectual health, all of this stuff. So find the time, make the time to spend some time outdoors and have that connection.
Absolutely.
Do you have another tip?
Yeah, I just have one more. My last is just learn as much as you can about other people and how they incorporate spirituality into their life, so that it's something that you can talk about. Because, you know, they say, don't talk about politics, don't talk about church, don't, you know, like, so that you can communicate with people. Like, if somebody asks me or I'm ever put in a position or situation, like, I know enough and I know how to communicate what I believe in without going overboard. Right. And without being ridiculous about it. But also, if someone is talking to me about something that they believe in or their spirituality, like, I like to just know a lot about everything, and I can kind of, you know, understand and relate and hold a conversation with them. So if someone that comes to me and they're of a different faith, like, I probably know about that faith just because I researched just to know about it and know how to hold a conversation and understand and can respect their values, but also making sure that I'm not selling out on mine.
Right. Like bending on your
Yeah, business. Exactly. Yeah. So I learned about all of the different, you know, religions and the different, you know, you're talking about denominations. Like I know and learn about all of them just so that I can know, just in case I do have opportunity to engage with somebody and it does come up, I can hold a conversation and neither of us are walking away feeling like, oh, I hate you, I can't talk to you, or like, oh, he's one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, so my good last is just learn as much as you can about, you know, the different whatever it is, spiritualities that are out there, and being able to understand that, just like if you believe in something so deeply and you're trying to connect with somebody and like relate them or have them relate to what you believe in, they feel that exact same way about theirs.
Right.
So why would you think you're going to go in there and change their mind or try to get them to come over on your side when they're trying to do the same thing to you? And then y'all both leave mad and frustrated at each other.
We like, really could just listen and respect each other. Yeah, just listen to each other, respect each other. Yeah.
And if you learn it, you can understand it and know where they're coming from and know how to kind of carry the conversation a little bit more. And then just live out your life.
Yep. So my last one is kind of similar, and it's just... And this is really for me and something that I am still learning to do, but understand that how you handle relationships speaks volumes about your spirituality.
Oh, yes.
I'm not awesome at this. I'm getting better, but I think it's why I started taking those 20 minutes at the beginning of my day to read the Bible and reflect and pray, because I understand that how people view me is how they're going to view Christianity, and that my interactions with them will speak volumes to my spirituality and my religion and what I believe. And so this is something that I'm always continuing to work on.
Cool. I ain't got no more.
You know what? Me either. I think that was a good episode. I think that the one thing I really want to say is that for those of you listening, there could be a lot of questions that you may want to ask us. And that's perfectly fine if you want to send us, you know, messages on Instagram or Facebook or however you follow us. Please feel free to. We are by no means experts. We're just kind of living out this life like with the rest of you. But if we can't point you to the right resources, we are good friends with our college pastor here from our church, and we can definitely help get you more info if you have other questions.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Don't ask me. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. No. I'm here for you. And we love everybody. I love everybody. That's one of the commandments. Love thy neighbor as you love thyself.
Yep.
So I love everybody, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, until the next time.
Until the next time.
We are out.
Bye. Hey, everybody. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe to the Success in Black and White podcast. You'll get notified every time a new episode is posted, which is every Tuesday.
If you loved this episode, help us spread the love. Rate and leave a review on our iTunes podcast episode. Also, share that you listen on social media and tag us on your posts. My social media handle is @IAmDarylLovett on all social media platforms.
And mine is @AprilDawnLovett on all social media platforms as well. Thanks for listening. Oh my gosh, you sound like Keith Sweat.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, did it record?
Yeah.